Time to talk a little Patriots and more as we welcome in our friend Ryan Hannibal of WEEI in Boston. Hello there, Ryan.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good. Did you get a little time off finally last week?
I did. I went down to Hilton Head, South Carolina. Great place to vacation.
Nice. And I play a little golf, I assume?
No, I didn't. I was not allowed to bring the clubs, but that's okay. I had a great time.
Wow. Okay, it's tough regulation there, but still, it still beats working. And so, how is there? Because I find when I travel in the South, I'm often disappointed in my coffee options. How is their iced coffee game down there?
They had Starbucks right near the place that I stayed, so it worked out great for me. Every morning went down there and got my Starbucks and started the day good. But you're right, there are some places down there that you just can't find a good iced coffee. But fortunately, I lucked out. But I hear you.
Well, while you were away, man, what was N'Keal Harry thinking? Clearly, he did not get the best of advice from his people.
No, I'm not really sure what his agent and representation were thinking with that statement. I mean, you very rarely hear from Patriots players requesting trades. And then, you know, a player like N'Keal Harry, who's done nothing in the league, makes it even worse. And I just don't know, you know, what they're looking to gain from that. I mean, I think everybody in the NFL knew that he was available via trade around the draft, and obviously they didn't trade him. They probably didn't get many offers. And so I just don't know what that statement was really meant to do. The rest of the league knows he's available and knows what he's done in the league. And then basically when you read the words in the statement, it was basically he was playing victim and then basically saying that he hasn't been used properly. And I thought the agent kind of made it sound like he thinks he knows football more than Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. And it just wasn't a good look. And I don't know where this goes from here, because if the Patriots want to play hardball with Harry, they could just stash him on their roster and have him be the sort of emergency receiver and just have him, you know, sit, you know, as that 53rd guy on the roster all year. So it was sort of a puzzling statement, puzzling way to go about it. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I just don't think the statement was in Harry's best interest.
And at this point, given what he's done or hasn't done in the NFL, what could they possibly get for him in a deal?
Great question. I mean, there was a thing today from ESPN's Charlie Fowler talked to an NFL executive that said a conditional six-round pick is what you're looking at. And at that point, is it even worth trading the guy for a conditional six-round pick? You might as well just keep him and, you know, in case of emergency. And it's, you know, for a guy that was drafted in the first round 2 years ago, to go from that style, your value to the sixth-round pick is obviously not great. And so, you know, and then the thing was that there's a chance he could have been cut at the end of training camp. I think that would have been best-case scenario for Harry, is to go through training camp and then get cut. Then he could pick his destination. He could pick which team he wants to go to. So I think almost in a way, you know, asking to be traded isn't really the best thing for Harry to do. I think it's probably sticking through training camp and then hoping you get cut, and then pick your team that you go to.
We're talking with Ryan Hannibal here on Downtown. Well, it probably wasn't going to be N'Keal Harry anyway, but now we ask the question, who will catch passes for the Patriots in this coming season?
It's really posed the question as sort of a part of our 21-question series about the Patriots sort of during this dead time before training camp starts. And it really could be a number of players on the roster. It could be Jacoby Myers, who led the team last year. It could be James White, who is second. And then it could be one of the newcomers, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Aguilar, even Kendrick Bourne. And I went with Jonnu Smith just because I think that Josh McDaniels is really going to like to have him in his passing game. He's a guy that's very athletic. And so I think that you just get him the ball in space and let his athleticism make some plays. And just, I think no matter who's that quarterback, Cam Newton or Mac Jones, it's a lot easier to throw a tight end to wide receivers. So I look for the tight ends to have a really big year in this offense. So I think Jonnu Smith is going to have a big year. So I went with him, but it wouldn't be surprising to see Hunter Henry lead the team in receptions as well. I think any of the tight ends are two players to watch.
You posed an interesting question today. Who's leading the responses for the Patriot most likely to make that second-year jump?
It was Kyle Duggar is leading the responses, but I think that's just because people, you know, expect him to be, you know, a great player, and I agree. But I went with Josh Uche just because I think he's going to have a big year. Last year, he only played 9 games and had 1 sack. This year, I expect him to play, obviously, more than 9 games. And I look at him as a guy that could make a big difference on this defense. I think 5 or more sacks aren't out of the question. And just having, you know, Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower on the field at the same time as him, he could probably get some good matchups and not, you know, face the opposition's best blocker. So I think he had a great offseason, looked great in the spring, and I think he can really build on it and have a good year.
When camp begins, is the defense still significantly ahead of the offense?
I would say so, just because from not only just a talent standpoint, but just, you know, defense is probably going to be ahead of the offense when things start anyway, just because of just how, you know, sports and football is. But I think this defense has the chance to be something special. I think that you returned, you got back a number of players like the Van Noys, the Hightowers, and you had a guy like Matthew Judon, Jalen Mills. I think this defense has a chance to be a top five defense in the NFL. And we'll see that early on in training camp. And it really will be fascinating to watch, see how they develop over the course of the year, because they can do so many different things with all the talented players they have. And so I think this is a really good defense for Bill Belichick to kind of play with and, you know, have a different look each week depending on who they play.
Now, other than the obvious wide receiver position, what else do they need to shore up?
It's a good question. I think that, you know, they're pretty much set at a lot of positions. Running back is set, offensive line set. I mean, quarterback, they have their guys. Maybe on defense, you look at the linebacker position, they could be a guy short there, maybe in the middle, just because you don't know exactly the health of Dante Hightower and how that'll be moving forward. But I think they'll look at how they used him when he played last in 2019, where they kind of cut back his snaps earlier in the year to make sure he was fresh for the stretch run. But, you know, look, their roster's in pretty good shape. I think that there's not really one glaring need, maybe, you know, a backup tackle if they could find one. But there's no real glaring need, besides if you really wanted a number one wide receiver. But that's going to be hard to get right now. So maybe you could find a veteran out there that's available. But other than that, I think, you know, what the team looks like now is probably going to be what it's going to look like come training camp.
And of course, the question everybody's asking, who do you think in week one, barring any big surprise, will it still be Cam Newton out there?
My gut says yes, unless Mac Jones really wows during training camp in the preseason. Then I think it's Cam Newton, but I think it's sort of a short leash. I think that the goal is to get Mac Jones some starts his rookie season. I don't think it's worth having Newton, you know, play the year out, but I don't think, you know, it's not worth pushing Mac Jones too hard and too fast to get into that week one. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have Cam Newton start, you know, the first four or five games while, you know, you get Mac Jones, you know, comfortable with the offense, some experience in practice and all that. So I think they're gonna slow play it. There's no need to rush Mac Jones, but if he does, you know, wow them in training camp and looks great in the preseason, then, you know, and he shows that he's ready come week one, why not? But I just think right now it'll be Cam Newton and then Mac Jones later in the year.
Is Buffalo the team to beat in the East?
Yeah, they have to be. I mean, they return a lot of their team from last year. I think Josh Allen's still, you know, going up. And it could be, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And so, you know, their defense is solid. They're bringing back a lot of their same guys that they had. So they're the team to beat. I'm not saying the Patriots can't challenge them and beat them. But, you know, based on how this offseason's gone and how things look right now, the Bills are the team to beat. But who knows? You know, like, injuries play a big factor in the NFL. And if, you know, one of the top players up there gets hurt, that could change things in a hurry. So the Bills are at the top, but I think the Patriots are closing the gap.
Did you watch any of Tom Brady in the match?
I did. I thought it was – I liked it. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I think that people didn't – I think people that I saw knock Phil Mickelson for talking too much, I actually enjoyed it. I think he brings a lot of color to it and just sort of explains things. I think he could be pretty good in the broadcast booth when he retires, but – I think those events are cool. I thought it was pretty well done. I wish it was a little bit shorter. I think the 5.5 hours was a little bit too long, but it was enjoyable. I like to see those sort of, you know, off the beat golf stuff, and it was fun to watch from my perspective.
What a great course too.
Oh, I mean, that was the thing. You saw those pictures before they even teed off, and everybody was going to Google to find golf vacations in Montana. I was certainly one of them. Looks like a great place to golf. My only question is, what do you do there besides golf? It's like you go to a lake or a pool or anything like that, or an ocean or anything like that. So I'd go there for the golf. 36 holes of golf every day, sign me up.
Right, and then in your downtime, you go wrestle a bison.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was the thing. You go in the woods, find bears and all that stuff. They're off the course. What did Bryson say? I'm not afraid of a bear. I mean, I don't think I'd be saying that. But.
You better have more than a 5-wood in your hand if that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, Ryan, we appreciate it as always. So good to talk with you, and we'll check in with you again before too long as we get closer and closer to the start of football season.
That's right. All right. Thanks a lot, Rich. Always good talking.
You got it. Ryan Hannibal, WEEI.